Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, as I prepare my sermons each week and try to find illustrations that might highlight or exemplify the point I believe the scripture text is trying to make, there are at least two pitfalls that you have to be cautious of as you use these illustrations. The first is that the illustration itself may be remembered, but the point of the illustration isn't. I remember once as I asked a young man of our congregation to put something up on the pulpit for me, he wasn't sure where that was. And as I described it, he said, "Oh, that's the place where you tell those stories." The second pitfall is that the speaker may be tempted to appropriate illustrations incorrectly. That was pointed out to me as I read about a visiting pastor who was preaching a sermon in which he included a number of touching stories. Following worship, he was speaking with the congregation when a woman raised her hand and asked about one of the stories he'd told, and he'd presented this story as if it had happened to himself. But she said that she had recently read a book and recounted that the same events happened to someone else. The pastor had to admit that he had borrowed the story. It wasn't his own, nor had he given credit where credit was due. Now, a situation like that can be more than just a little embarrassing. When something like that happens, it calls into question not just the integrity of the preacher, but the integrity of the whole message. And by not pointing to where the credit was due, the power of the message can be lost. In our text this morning, our epistle, that first reading from Acts that we heard, Paul didn't fall into that trap. He was insistent on giving credit where credit was due. When that lame man was healed, Paul went to great lengths to point out that it was God who did the healing, that he was only the instrument, the tool through whom God chose to work. When those people of Lystra wanted to offer sacrifices to Barnabas and Paul as gods, Paul said strongly, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you." They were men, only men, instruments through God was working. I think we often say something very similar. You know, when we say, "I'm only human," we do so not necessarily in order to make sure that God gets the credit, but as a reminder that others maybe shouldn't expect too much from us. After all, we are only human. But the reality is, God still works through ordinary people to do extraordinary things. God uses us, you and me, as tools, human instruments of his divine power. Lystra was one of the last stops in this, their first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas were hard at work proclaiming the good news of that free gift of salvation, which is found through faith in Jesus Christ. And at some time during his sermon, Paul was moved by the Spirit of God to see that one of the listeners believed, had come to faith. So as a demonstration of the Spirit's power, this man was granted healing. Here was a man who had never known what it was to be up on his two feet, and he began to do so as if it was something that he'd been doing all of his life. Pretty impressive indeed. No wonder the people there at Lystra became so excited. Now, of course, the purpose of this healing wasn't to draw attention to Paul and Barnabas. It certainly wasn't to give the impression that if you just get yourself right with Jesus, all your problems will suddenly go away. Paul and Barnabas weren't the first century version of those who tell us today that if you just believe in Jesus, you'll be healed, all your problems will go away. This man's healing took place as a physical demonstration of a spiritual reality. The people couldn't see the result of the spiritual healing, the forgiveness of sins, the renewal of a right relationship with God, which faith in Jesus had worked in this man's heart that Paul saw. This physical healing was granted as a sign pointing to the true healing which had already happened for this man. But the people missed the message. And that too is understandable. It's always more tempting to focus on the flashy, as the pastor that I worked with when I first got out of seminary and began working, his favorite sermon, his favorite phrase was the wowie zowie Jesus. We like that rather than the Jesus who says that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And in this case, the people of Lystra immediately wanted to worship Paul and Barnabas as gods. Now that may sound a little bit strange to us, but it really makes a lot of sense. The gods who could take care of their needs were now right there in their midst. So let's keep the gods happy and they'll stick around. Their crops now will prosper. Their children would be born healthy. Their homes and land would be blessed. And that's not just how these people thought. We too kind of harbor a secret belief that if we just get our act together with Jesus, things will go well. Our problems will disappear. But that's not the way faith works. If we just look around, we see the evidence of divine power that's at work. Do we see it, this power that's at work among us right now? We don't see lame people coming and being healed. We don't see physically dead people that are being raised to life. Christian families still have problems. Christians still get sick and die. And Christian people can still act kind of petty and sinful. As we look around us, things actually seem pretty normal, pretty mundane. We might even say rather boring. Or are they? What's the reality Jesus wants us to see through the eyes of faith? People are being rescued. Rescued from death as a simple act like water and word initiate new life by faith in Jesus. People are raised, are rescued from sin, healed in body and soul as they receive forgiveness in, with, and under these forms of bread, wine, and the Lord's Supper. And people are rescued from a purposeless and pointless life as they're instructed and renewed through God's powerful word of truth. These aren't flashy, they're not glitzy, but they speak of a reality which is just as important, in fact, more important than legs, which are made healthy and whole so that a man can walk. The reality which happens here through God's powerful word and sacrament usher in a new life, a life which lasts for eternity. Maybe one of the reasons we take these things so for granted is because they take all of the focus off of us and direct everything to God and His power. I think we'd all like to have some visible indication of the divine power that's at work as God's promises does its work here in this place, or when we're at home reading our scriptures, or when we're in Bible class. Not so much so that God would be glorified, or even that we might receive attention or credit, but I think more likely, we want it so that our faith, which we can't see, might be validated. But God won't be manipulated for our petty purposes. he is to receive all the glory and honor and praise. And this is what Paul knew when he said, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you." But when we let God have his way with us, when we let ourselves be his instruments, his tools, great things, extraordinary things can happen. I'm sure some of you here know the name Cal Thomas. A number of years ago, Cal Thomas found himself being called a Christian leader by a leading Christian magazine. And he said he wondered what that meant. More speaking engagements, perhaps an appearance on a Christian talk show. If that were to happen, he wrote this. He said, "It would certainly give me the right to start putting scripture references under my signed name in books that I'd written. People would surely ask me to sign more Bibles," which I find a curious practice since I didn't write that book. But then Thomas had this to say. He said, "I wonder if we have reversed things. God told Paul that our strength is made perfect in weakness," and Cal Thomas wrote, "In a church I once attended, there was a man of tremendous faith. His wife was an alcoholic. His daughter has psychological problems. He was often poor in health himself, and yet week after week he never complained. In fact, he always smiled and asked me how I was doing. He faithfully brought to church a young blind man who had no transportation, and he always sat with him, helping him sing the hymns by saying the words in his ear. That man," Cal Thomas said, "was a Christian leader, if ever there was one." Clearly, the real miracles of Christian faith are often not the big, flashy kind, but rather the quiet and unassuming kind. And God gives us the ability to show forth this kind of divine power in our lives. Unfortunately, it isn't often seen by those who are looking for God in the wrong places or in the wrong ways, like Paul. We're only human, but also like Paul, we've found something which has changed our lives and which directs all glory to him, to God. A man by the name of Alan Emery had an experience when he was young about the truth of ordinary people doing extraordinary things in God's name, a truth that he never forgot. Mr. Emery came from a very wealthy family, and one night his father received a call saying that a Christian man who was a prominent figure in town had been found drunk on the sidewalk. And his father immediately sent his chauffeur to pick the man up while his mother prepared the guest room. And Emery watched as she turned down the expensive bed linens on their antique four-poster bed. And he said, "But Mom, he's drunk. He might even get sick." And his mom replied, "Yes, but this man has slipped and fallen. When he wakes up, he'll be ashamed. And he'll need all the encouragement and love that we can give him." It may be that our greatest failure as God's people is that we don't give God enough credit. What I mean by that is that we don't credit him with enough power and enough strength to actually work through us because, well, we're only human. But the simple truth is, we are the very ones whom God has chosen as his instruments to do the extraordinary things like loving the unlovable or caring for those who need to know that Christ cares for them too. General Eisenhower is reported to have once chastised one of his generals for referring to a soldier as just a private. And Eisenhower reminded him that the army could probably function better without its generals than it could without its foot soldiers. And that's true for us. In the same way, the common, ordinary, everyday Christian is really the backbone of the church. There are few great evangelists. There are some huge congregations that are led by dynamic leaders. But if the work of the Lord is to be done, if the gospel is to be taken to the lost, if people are to hear the message of Christ, it'll be through the ordinary Christians, the foot soldiers in God's army, who simply share God's love and mercy. And when that happens, God will use those ordinary things, those ordinary people, in extraordinary ways. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.